I'll look him up. I'll look him up. I'll look him up. We're going. Yeah, I'm down there, and I've been trying to make that old tractor work, and it just got worrisome, more and more worrisome, and everything I touched looked like it broke down. So I thought I'd come out here and get Mr. Adkins to fix that other little tire. And it's one of them, well, I don't know how big that is. Don't you know them old, on them little Fords that used to have a front tire, 19, 20 inches?
Yeah.
I don't know what size it'd be. And, of course, it don't fit their
rim.
Tools, the automatic tools.
Uh-huh.
And they have to do it by hand. They don't like to do it.
I know. was it you yesterday said that everything was going mechanical? Now even the doctors, they got machines to tell you what's the matter with you, so forth.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's about the way with the mechanics and all. And, you know, to take off a change of tire, they got a rim and they put on those lug bolts.
Yes. Yeah.
You can do it 10 times as fast as you can by hand.
You know, these doctors, now, you know, I don't know enough to talk about the doctors, but they go by these tests so much now.
Yeah.
They don't have to have any judgment like they used to have, Mr.
I know that.
You see, even a horse doctor or a farmer, everybody used to have a little judgment. Now, you know, you just use that.
Come out and get a specimen and send it off and see how it comes back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just go by the machine.
Dr. Emil sent me around to Dr. Dale's to have some pictures made. Well, I'd been going there for years. I had a little blood cancer under my eye, and it treated it with radium. And there's one old nurse around there that I had been known for years and years. And last time I went around there, she said, "Come on back here, Tuck, I want to show you something." And they had a new machine back there. Said, "Look at our new machine." I said, "Yeah, it's ours, all right."
Yeah.
I've been going out here paying for it.
Now, you haven't been staying up at 10 o'clock and listening to them last Monday and Tuesday night about the medical profession.
No.
I did, and then I couldn't go to sleep. Yeah. You know, it's disturbing. That's more than I knew about them.
Well,
I'm sorry I learned about some of it.
Do you think... Well, I know I can go to bed with something on my mind, maybe that I want to do tomorrow or something.
Sleep light.
And they wake up before time or something.
Yeah.
And I want to think another thing, which may be foolish, but these moonlight nights. If you say you want to get up at daylight, if the moon is shining good and bright, you look out the window and it looks just like daylight. So, I don't know.
And it really daylight last night.
Oh, yeah. Awful pretty night.
I just slept light all night. I seemed like I never did hardly go off sound.
Well, as long as my wife drove a school bus, I think she bought one or two alarm clocks. But we never did use them. If you'd said it, we'd be up awake before the thing went off.
They'd turn it off before it went off,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and I've always been accustomed to getting up early. Now some mornings, if we don't have anything to do, anything particular to do, we'll stay in bed till 7:30 maybe.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we've got up and had our breakfast.
Yeah.
And
you know, I got a bad habit. I don't like to sleep, stay in bed. So I'll get up and get breakfast and get around doing things. Then I'll come in and listen to the radio or something and start nodding.
Yeah. I had a friend out here.
Every time I sit down, I get sleepy.
I had a friend out here in Micanopy. He went to Dr. Daly when he got down at McIntyre. Tell me, you want him to give him some to make him sleep. And the doctor said, "Well, What's your hours? Says, how late do you stay up? Says, I generally go to bed about 8 o'clock or 9. Well, and when do you wake up? Says, 5 or 6 o'clock, 4, 5 or 6 o'clock. He says, well, you're not required but 8 hours of sleep. He says, you're getting all the sleep you need. But I know something. This boy up here, Red Brown.
Yeah.
Now, when he's working like he's working in the logwood, he's up and ready to go at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he gets in to 2, 3, or 4 o'clock. They go out there and they do so much, and when they get that done, they quit and come on in.
How'd I figure that?
Well, they cut. I don't know whether they cut by the load or not, but... And I don't know why. They don't ever want to leave any logs much cut in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They go out there and set their task to get 4 loads of logs.
Yeah.
As quicker they can get them, then they can knock off.
Oh, on Saturday morning?
Saturday or Sunday morning. If you don't want to go fishing, they'll stay in the bed at 9 or 10 o'clock. You don't have to get up there or anything. They haven't got any livestock or anything to tend to.
Well, now, you know, that's hard for me to believe. Yeah. That fella like Chris.
Now, a lot of times when they're not working in the woods, you see he's cleaned up all that land around there.
Yeah.
But I think when he doesn't go to work like that, they sit up and watch that late movie on television.
Oh.
That
may be one cause.
Because every once in a while, you just will mention about that.
Oh, I see. They're listening to that late movie.
Mm-hmm. He's not lazy.
Yeah.
You can't say that. He sure work.
Well, now, who does he work with?
Coon Young. He's working indirectly for the Franklin Lumber Company. Mm-hmm. Young contracts timber. Cuts it and hauls it to Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I'll tell you, I got a lot of old stuff over there I'd like to get rid of. I could tell him what I had, and he could tell me.
He sure
if they could use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. There's a fella, he lives in Ocala, and I had some timber. And, well, the reason I got to know about him, he cut this fella Bruton's over here. And he cut it, and he'll cut everything.
Yeah.
He cuts pulpwood, bottomwood,
yeah,
logs, and oak timber.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm going to tell you my experience of that oak timber. Unless you want it off your land, you don't get no money out of it.
No.
Very little bit.
Oh, that would be a great relief just to get some of them old oaks off.
Yeah. Well, now, there's a certain type of oak that they won't cut.
They won't bother the live oak.
No. Although I did have one man in here, and this Charlie Edwards was causing me getting in touch with him. He cut one oak and live oak. And the bigger it was, it's got to be straight.
Yeah.
Reasonably straight.
Yeah.
And they tell me they take it to some mill and saw. In other words, it makes some for these crawlers to go on and cutting ditches and things.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten what I got for that, about $12 a thousand.
Yeah.
Which it was no good to me standing up there.
No, it's good to get it out.
Yeah, and they shaved the land and the grass couldn't grow underneath it.
Oh, yes.
Well, boy, they cut some trees that... One, I died them loading it, and they didn't. They loaded it one end at a time, too. They didn't pick the whole log up. You know, most of them, they'll just grab a log in the middle and put it right on up on the truck.
Well, you know, people come out there where I am, and they'll see them big old magnolia trees and oak trees, and oh, they just think they're wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd just give anything to get rid of all of them. They're so big.
Mm-hmm.
And just start, let some of the younger stuff
come up and grow.
Have a chance. But you can't say that, you know.
Yeah.
They just think that's fine.
The magnolia used to. When Franklin was making hampers, bean baskets,
yeah,
they really love that magnolia for hoops, to make the hoops. It would work out a whole lot better than gum. Or
now, Red Brown works with
Coon Young.
Coon Young, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, he's been over, but I've seen him. I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that. Fred Wood?
Yeah.
Fred Wood is Coon Young's brother-in-law.
Oh.
He married... No, he didn't. No, that's wrong. The cousin, the ring.
Yeah.
Fred's wife and Coon and cousin.
Yeah.
There was three or four sets of young down around Thelsby, down there where I was raised.
Yeah. I never hung around Fairfield at all. I went to some little town out there. I think it's, I guess it wasn't Fairfield. Let me see.
Flemington?
No, I know Flemington. It was on further. I tell you what I went out there for. You turned off of the old 441 and turned back over there, and there was some stores, and then some fella, I forget his name, he had these Paul Herfords. Beautiful. Had a big ranch over there. He had sold out to phosphate people down in the center of the state and then come on up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sold out here and went on up to Georgia. Oh, he's already up there. I forget his name. Now, what is that? That's not Fairfield. That's some little town. And there wasn't much there anymore. Just some of the old stores.
Yeah.
I think there might have been a post office there. That's not Fairfield.
No.
No, I just haven't been out there.
I can't think who that would be.
You know, this Ellis Chalmers, this first really first trouble I've had with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just no mechanic, that's my throat, see. It really goes. And it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't complain with it. But now your little farm all moves along too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got full forward speed.
Yes.
Up fourth is just more or less the road where you want to move from one field to the other in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
And you put it in first, that's for cultivating small stuff where you just want to creep along.
Yeah.
And if your stuff gets big, you can put it in second or third, and you can get around pretty fast. And you can turn it in a whole lot quicker than you can with a horse or a mule.
Yeah.
Because you drive out to the end and jerk your equipment up and turn your wheel and hit that brake, and you turn around and ready to go back.
Yeah.
Ain't no old G-Haw come up to the back. It keeps you pretty busy.
Well, now, you wouldn't break land with that.
No, well, you can,
yeah.
But it's slow. It'll pull a 14 or 16-inch plow around.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I break with that all of it. It pulls two bottom plows.
Yeah, and just mark it long.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to it? What do you think happened to it when it caught on fire out there?
That's what I don't know. I've always been silly enough to think anything that was all iron couldn't catch a fire.
Yeah.
But as years go by, that oil deposit builds up around there, and it gets hot, and that the oil is, after it gets a certain amount of heat, well, it's pretty easy to catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this same fella cut my timber. He had one of those old, what is the name of the thing? He pulls logs with. It's a tractor, but it's pettibone. And there's not a piece of wood about it nowhere. It's got old big tires that high and about that wide. Goes in the swamp anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He can go out there and hook on the three or four logs, and it's fast. And he can run them up to the ramp right quick.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, on this road going out towards Zetrise, he was moving somewhere. That thing caught a fire on the road and it burned completely up. Tire and all burned off of it. Well, when in the woods, there's little pockets around it, catch leaves and little twigs and things, and it make a deposit there, and that oil and stuff will gradually build up. When it catches the fire, unless you've got the waterworks or something, you can't put it out.
Well, you was out there with all that sand.
Yeah. And this is a drop in the bucket in size to the one he had to burn up over there.
And the sand wouldn't put it out?
No, the nigga just drove it off the road and jumped off, and they called that little old fire department out for making up with you. They couldn't do nothing. We saw the smoke across here.
But your tractor, the sand wouldn't put that out?
Yeah, we finally put it out.
Yeah.
It was too late. They'd done, I said, burned all the wires off. It burned the insulation off of them.
Yeah. Well, sir. If a man was going to make a living now, it'd be much more profitable for him to be a good mechanic than it would to be a good farmer.
Well.
Now, if he wants to farm, all right. But he'd make more money faster just keeping up his equipment, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think. I've always said a farmer's got to be a good judge of nature.
Yeah.
He's got to be a doctor. He's got to be a mechanic. And he's got to be a darn good boss.
Yeah.
Now, you've heard people say, oh, if you're farming, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
That's true, but if you ain't a good one, damn if you don't start to death.
Yeah.
That's right. I've heard people say they knew how to farm. Well, I think I know how to. But you can go to work this year and prepare your land and get it good and plant it. If you don't hit the right seed, I don't care how much you work, if you're not going to make a good crop.
Yeah.
And if you plant this year and have a good seed and make a good crop and try to cop it next year, and your seeds are different, you're in trouble right on.
Yeah. Have you planted in this old millet?
No, not near, no.
Yeah. You've got plenty of forage. You don't go in for that.
We planted 16 eggs out of high gear years back.
Mm-hmm.
First to second year we got the tractor and we didn't have planters for it. So I went there with a mule and plow and laid off the road. And then we got the tractor and we tried to cultivate with it. But you couldn't do it because all the rows were in the same width.
Yeah.
And you absolutely got to have them the same width if you want to cultivate with a tractor. We made a right smarter feed. But we planted early, and when it come in, we had plenty of native grass and stuff, and
yeah.
The cows wasted as much or more than they ate. But you can make a tremendous amount of feed of that thing. You fix up your ground good and plant it and fertilize a little bit. About one or two workings is all you need to give it. And this I had it stewed out. It makes three or four. We let it go till it matured, made the top with the seed on. Some of those things would almost be equivalent to an ear of corn.
Yeah.
And it's a one, and the stalk of sweet. You if you put your stalk on there early enough, they'll eat the fodder, and then they'll chew that stalk up to get that sweetness.
Oh, they will.
And eat the grain too. Yeah. It's a wonderful. I just believe you can make just as much or more feed with that. Well, a lot of people, you know, plant it and harvest it for silos, put it in silos. Well, you've got your grain there, you've got your roughage, and you've got your sweetening.
Yes.
And you add a little salt, and that's about all the animal needs to survive.
Yeah, they that hybrid stuff, they've got corn in it,
yeah.
And sorghum in it,
yeah.
Bread in it, yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, now that's right clever.
Yeah. You know, when old farmers used to plant oats for feed for the stock, You hear him talking about cutting it in the door stage.
Yes, I know about that.
And then someone let it go on till it matured, and then they'd cut it. Well, that would keep indefinitely.
Uh-huh.
But when you cut in the door stage, it don't keep. You got to use that up pretty quick.
That's for the real silage.
That's, I imagine in that door stage would fatten anything quicker than dry stuff.
Mm-hmm. It keeps more of the nourishment in it.
Yeah.
You know what now you see, I'm no judge, but the experience I've had down here is the dough stage down here passes almost overnight.
Yeah.
It don't last.
No, it
but up the country, it lasts a long time.
Yeah.
So that you've got margin, you see, to put it in.
Well, why? Why does it last long up there? Is the weather condition or what?
Yes. The moisture is gone down here. And the fertilizer is gone.
Yeah.
So it just fires up.
Mm.
That's just my figuring. I'm not sure. But I've had the experience.
I know. Especially this bred up corn we had now. We call it roasted corn. Some people call it sweet corn. But you can have a patch of that and you can start in like this week. And you say, well, I don't have corn enough here that I can use it long for a month. But you can't do it. Especially if you have real warm weather. Man, that thing will get in the roasted stage, and before you know it, that thing got tough. And fix me going and drop material. So I try to play smart on that. I plant me two or three little patches at different ages.
Yeah.
And use out of this one till it goes getting hard, and then get on the oven and work it on out.
Let the squirrels have their own.
Yeah. And don't you never think they don't get their part of it.
Yeah.
And coons. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I had roast near, and I had this little field here in corn. And I had watermelon, and a coon, and a squirrel, and the birds. They started in on it. And I just said, I'll be darned if I'm going to let them eat it all up. So I got them some steel traps. And I think it was 11 coons I caught right here, right at the house.
Yeah.
I don't know how many squirrels, and I caught about 6 or 8 quail. And you always catch an old possum or two.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty heavy wildlife.
Yeah. You take a dozen squirrels go in your corn patch. Well, they go in there this morning. Each one has to get him a ear of corn, you know.
Yeah.
And the squirrels, they'll cut in it. They'll eat so much off of that this morning.
Yeah.
And they go back this afternoon, they won't go to that same air. They got to get them a new one.
Yeah.
And old coon, he goes in there, he tears down the whole stalk, you know. He'll knock it down on the ground and tear the shuck open and eat 3 or 4 mouthfuls out of one ear and go get him another. He won't eat it all up. They waste more than they eat.
Bill Wynn had melons over there in my back pasture one year, and he had all these fellas, and the coons lit in on them pretty heavy to start with, but then they quit. And it seemed like they were getting in more melons than they actually were.
Yeah.
But they would seem like they would try several before they get one suit.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they just dig a little hole about
that
big round. Don't eat the melon.
They don't eat the melon, they dip in there.
Dip in there and get that seed.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind, they can tell. But I would imagine they'd want to wait till that seed kind of got matured before they eat it. Yeah, I got some little old squirrel that goes in my barn here. And the dry corn. They'll get it, and they'll shell that corn off. Well, they don't eat the whole grain, they just eat the heart of it. I guess that's where the most nourishment is.
Yeah.
And something else I've always thought about, wild squirrels in the woods.
Yeah.
they have a certain time they cut pine masts, pine burrs to get the mast. Well, they won't cut them till they're ready.
Yeah.
Hickory nuts the same way.
Yeah.
And how can he tell when that nut is matured?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just try it, huh?
And acorns, they don't eat very many green acorns. They wait till they get pretty well matured before they eat them.
Yeah. Now, hogs did too?
No. A hog would eat a certain amount of green ones, but they prefer ripe material.
Well, now, after they mature, they'll just lay on the ground there and definitely won't
eat. Yeah. Unless it's kind of wet and something come along and kick a little dirt on them, up enough leaves fall over them. They'll start sprouting out to a certain length of time.
Oh, will they?
Yeah. So, reproduce.
Well, you don't have, the hogs don't have a very long acorn season.
Well, yeah. I expect 3 months.
That much?
Yeah. Because, see, all those acorns don't fall at one time.
That's right.
And we have a good many white oaks up here. They've got a great big acorn, you know. Mm-hmm. It don't take many of them to fatten the hog or fill them up. But they're not good for cattle.
Oh.
If cattle can get enough of them before you know it, they have dysentery.
Oh.
And I don't know why, but it's just still not good for them.
You know old Mike Weaver, old Windbag, yeah. I go by there and every now and then talk to him. He knows these animals pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, he sort of had them on his mind all his life, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I was going to stop by there the other day and I forgot it and asked him about, that bird station. No, it was dark that night you was over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is right outside the window there, and they coming up all the time. And most of the birds come up for suet, and they're not much interested in the feed.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, there's plenty of feed, worms, seeds everywhere. But they like that suet. You take that old red-bellied woodpecker, you come up there and look around and talk and get him a great big mouthful, and you can see him swallow it, and he'll look around and sort of advertise the fact that he's up there. Looks like it'd be quiet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I don't know. They're kind of cautious. And then look to me like sometimes they don't care.
Yeah.
When we have a few pecans here, old crows, they'll come in here. And I wouldn't think of the crow. No, these paper shells, it's reasonable that they can get into them. But we have some little hard nuts here. And those sort of can take those things and get in them. But now that's a smart bird, that crow. You really got to be on the ball if you get a shot at him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got so put out with the crows out there. One day I was out there mowing. I was just knocking the weeds down, as I remember. Wasn't making hay or anything like that. And, I forget what I was doing. But everywhere I went, you see, it would expose the ground. And these little ground doves would have eggs there, and them crows would just wait up there and watch me.
Yeah.
And every time I uncovered one of them, they'd just wait like I was in the row, and they'd go down there and get the egg.
Get the egg, yeah. Yeah, as bad as a suck egg dog, they say about egg.
Yeah.
Well, I know you used to grow a good many English peas around here. And it's just at a certain stage, just for to get right to pick, this crows would take to the field. And you had to stay out there with your shotgun. If you didn't, it looked like one come in there and he'd go tell the rest of them the next day you'd have that many more and then the next day more and more. And
well,
they could ruin a gonna feel in 5 or 6 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't put up a scarecrow or something out there?
No, they didn't pay no. The only thing I've ever found about that, if you can kill one or two, get you a long pole and tie them to the end of it and put your holder and stick it up and let them see.
Yeah.
And they won't come back.
Well, you know, I tried that on them little blackbirds.
Yeah.
Red wings and cowbirds and all. They've been coming up there at that station, feed station there. And one day, I had that little air gun. And go ahead and...
kind of a tickling just down in my throat.
Yeah. I don't shoot these birds to kill them. I just want to make a few feathers fly. But this time I hit him and he just dropped right there on the platform. Why, gee whiz. In 2 minutes, his two or three right there by him wasn't paying a bit of attention.
Trying to help him, you suppose?
Yes. No, they just didn't pay him attention. No, they just went ahead with the eating.
Oh, because they wanted the tribe had got to kill them. It didn't have any effect on them having a feed.
No, I thought it might scare them off like a crow. I've seen the crows, you know. And you let an old crow get hurt out there and start making a big noise, and that'll warn them off.
You can see them come up so close, but they don't come any closer.
Yeah. Well, I'll go over there and get that old, go over there and see what I can do with that brake. See if I can get the oil off of it. That's what it is, and it's on the right side.
Well, yeah, that might be your trouble. It's your wheel brake.
Yeah. It'll do all right to the left, but that right one won't work. It's just full of oil. I know what it is. I don't know how to get it out.
You can't turn left all the time.
Well, I guess I... could work out some system. Just turn left, that's right. Good evening.
That's that, Danny. One thing that I found is it always has a way of bunching up on you.
Yeah.
You always have 3 or 4 big assignments due right about the same time. And then you can rock along for 2 or 3 weeks and not have anything pressing to do.
Yeah.
But then it'll come back to you. Right at the midterm, right at the end of the quarter, everything just piles up.
Yeah.
This is 4:15 and Thursday afternoon, late, the 23rd of April, 1970, Channel 1 right, 4:15. And this is the first time we have taped. We dropped over yesterday just to look in. And I said to them when we walked in, it don't take long to drop out of the news. They've dropped out. Of course, we dropped out. It's going on 4:20 now, Channel 1 right. And Tuck Talk, not too well. Just sort of scattered talk. Faye just loves to hear him, though. And then he coughed. Not half her side. This Thursday afternoon, the 23rd of April, 1970, Channel 1 right, 4:25.